This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Almost every week, Radio EcoShock details our headlong flight into a complex series of environmental, economic, and social disasters. But where are the solutions? There are many answers out there. What we need is a collection place to gather the things we need to know. Enter Lawrence Beaumart and the Bank of Real Solutions. Beaumart is a longtime New Zealand activist who founded the successful Environmental Business Network in the 1990s. And along with a group called Living Economies, Lawrence co-published and wrote for the book Fleeing Vesuvius, Responding to the Effects of Economic and Environmental Collapse. Lawrence Beaumart is currently on a tour of North America with our previous guest, Nicole Foss. Lawrence, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Well, hello, Alex. Thank you. And hello to your listeners.
Lawrence, most of the doomers I track picture New Zealand as a place to run after Fukushima or the economy blows up. At least New Zealand could feed itself. Is it all a green garden party there down under?
Well, it does make a great little arc by the fact that there are only 4 million people in an area the size of England, which has over 60 million people. We've got lots of food, but even in the Shire, Alex, the dark shadow of Mordor casts its shadow. Yes, indeed. We have a ex-Merrill Lynch investment banker as our prime minister now, and he's ready to hoover up every last bit of goodness there might be there, but it's not all on his side. But yeah, it's a beautiful place, although here in these northern parts coming up the coast, it looks pretty good up here too. But we do have a small population. It's a great place, and we've pioneered many things, like first country in the world for women to get the vote. We went anti-nuclear back in the 80s, and we've done lots of things like that. And top of the pop charts in America at the moment is a 16-year-old New Zealand girl who's told all those little Disney skanks that they should clean up their act and be real young woman, and that's pretty impressive. So we're pretty outspoken, as you can tell.
And speaking of parties, tell us about the political party you co-founded.
The New Economics Party, and near the end of 2011, 5 weeks out from the general election, myself and Deirdre Kent, a woman in her mid-70s who'd written a book on the monetary system, realized that no one, including our very strong Green Party there, was representing the economic equation. So we thought we needed to put that on the table. So, yeah, we threw that together and went out there and publicly promoted the concepts of the new economy and what's wrong with the old economy.
Well, I do want to talk about solutions with you, but let's peek at a few challenges. Would you care to name your top three things to worry about?
I worry about my own sense of optimism and my own attitudes. That's, you know, so it's the micro-internal level is the first thing. My concern mainly is the combination of factors. If any of the fault lines in the system, you know, we've got a lot of pillars that are the structures of our modern lifestyles. And I'm concerned about several of them going in a domino effect at the same time. The geopolitical tensions are big. You know, how that then impacts on the price of oil. When the price of oil was 147 a barrel, a lot of our world doesn't function when oil is that expensive. And if it goes even sillier and sadder in the Middle East, you know, it could be 200 or 300 a barrel. Back in 2008, due to the economic crisis, I mean, a lot of the pillars of the free market economic system basically failed and collapsed, and they've managed to fake it and kicked the can along the road since then. But, I mean, global shipping wasn't moving for 3 weeks there in 2008 because no one could trust a letter of credit. When AIG, the world's biggest insurer, was failing, well, you can't run business without the insurance industry. There's a whole chain of effects. And if you go into the extreme climatic effects, which are only going to get more extreme, I mean, they affect, you know, world food sources. And when people don't have food, that affects both their social fabric and their economy. So, you know, it's a long, long list, Alex, but you're probably as good at picking it as me. But I'm worried about one thing banging into the other, that we get several shocks at the same time. But overnight, the economic system can fail, as the people of Argentina found back in 2001. Overnight, kaboom, gone. You can't trust your monetary system, or more recently, the people of Cyprus. And that's a sudden adjustment. And that takes a lot of resilience and adaptability. And some people are going to do better than others in that situation.
You've pointed out there are a lot of answers out there. There's solar, there's biomass, there's community currencies, and you have a proposal, and in fact it's working right now, the Bank of Real Solutions. How is that working out for you?
Well, that's basically a website that allows people to upload their local community can-do success story. So the way I see it is as a bit of a recipe book. And I think if everyone has the recipes, then we can all bake the cake. There's always a tragedy of these best solutions that exist and the lag, the time lag between other people picking it up. So it's an extension of kind of what I've been working on for 20 years, which is looking for information on the solutions and bringing that forward as fast as possible and getting it out to as many people as possible. And then looking for ways to give them strategies for action. And so I'm looking at the moment at taking the Bank of Real Solutions into the World Bank of Real Solutions and making it a slightly more complex but fluid platform that many people, a sort of an open source system that many people can link up around bringing forward the best ideas and then looking for funders, workers, people who want to work on those solutions. And I'm looking at upgrading it the next notch. At the moment, it's just in New Zealand. It allows for people to find their local initiatives under a variety of headings, be it health or education or energy and the like or money. It's worked relatively well. It's a good experimental platform, I see it as, for what it can be next. I had a guy in Portland contact me who wanted to use the platform to set something similar up there in Portland. So I want to develop the platform for locals so that anyone around the world can set up similar initiatives. It's amazing how in any region, people often don't know what's happening down the road. So I'm a keen fan of getting the best information into everybody's hands as quickly as possible. And I have played with the extension of that. I have an outline for in New Zealand to get a 24-page mini magazine into every letterbox in the country. I've always looked at all the junk mail and thought, well, what about getting something useful into the hands of people? And so I'm playing with all those ideas of how do you get the information into everybody's hands and what is the best information? Because really, if we used all the best practices we have on the planet now, most of our problems could be solved very quickly.
Well, I'm going to put a link to that Bank of Real Solutions website in my blog at ecoshock.info because I took a look at it and there were some exciting things there that I went, well, I've never thought of that and that could work here. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Our guest is Lawrence Baumert, the environmental and local economy activist from New Zealand. Lawrence, your speaking tourmate Nicole Foss told our listeners an economic collapse will come well before climate change devastates what is left of the economy of everlasting growth. What is your take?
Oh, well, as I mentioned before, the 2008, basically, you know, that was a bit of an Enron moment. Everybody thought Enron would be there forever, and one morning they got to work and it was all over. It turned out you couldn't run it on horse manure and marketing forever and fraud, and it was gone. And a lot of the mainstream Wall Street and banking system is really an Enron-type Ponzi scheme, and we're just waiting for the next wave, which Nicole says very clearly that was the warning shot across the bows was 2008. So the big moment of reality, the reality ledger is coming. There's the next one coming. So how soon that is, I'm not quite sure, but I'd be surprised to see us on some kind of economic recovery in 2 years' time.
Tell us about the book you are involved with called Fleeing Vesuvius, Responding to the Effects of Economic and Environmental Collapse.
That was actually originally produced by FASTA, an Irish economic think tank back in 2011 in response to the economic collapse in Ireland, and we did a New Zealand edition of it. You know, in Ireland, they were one of the first European countries to hit the reality wall from their false economy, and they bit the bullet and brought in austerity measures to try and get things in order. In their first year after their austerity measures, their GDP dropped by 17%. They had to tell their police to buy their own uniforms, and they dropped their benefits, their social welfare benefits, by 5%. So that was a bit of a rough landing for Ireland, and that's going to be an ongoing thing. Because it doesn't put your economy into recovery when it drops by 17%, I mean, if America really bit the bullet on its budget deficit, it could have to do budget cuts of over $1 trillion in a short space of time. You can only imagine what that would look like. So the book was a response, the byline, a response to economic and environmental collapse. A big part of it is we're no longer just trying to create a sustainable world and avoid the effects of unsustainability, but we actually have to deal with the effects of unsustainability. They're upon us. This is the future. What's happening now is what people for the past four or five decades have been waving their hands around saying, stop, stop, the trajectory we're on, all bad things will happen. Well, this is it. We're here. We're here now, and we've got to deal with it. We've got to do both things at once. We've got to try and build a better, more sustainable future, and we've got to deal with the disruptions that come with hitting the limits to growth.
Can you give us a couple of examples of solutions being tried in New Zealand that are already working?
Some of our local community monetary systems are working really well. We have time banking's taken off. Time banking in the town of Littleton, which was where a big earthquake hit, which leveled the surrounding city quite hard. It is a very robust and resilient system that's building a strong community where people, for doing voluntary effort and doing services in the community, are able to get credits, time credits, for the time they put in. And people are able to build a community chest of time credits for working on community projects and helping the needy in the community. People are building credits for phoning in and on elderly and isolated people in the community, or helping people who are in need in the community. People are able to get a credit for helping meet those social needs, and in turn they can use those credits for things they need, be it childcare or gardening or plumbing or those sort of things. So time banking's a really fabulous initiative that's taking off all across the world. We're also got a let system in the place I live in, Golden Bay, New Zealand. And we have our own paper currency and electronic banking. 10% of our regional population belong to this system. And that allows us to have an increased liquidity in our community for both building businesses, business activity, and meeting social need. And we have a system in New Zealand called BarterCard. And with just 4 million people, we have 7,000 businesses like architects, lawyers, people who own hotel chains, and providing accommodation. These people, 7,000 businesses use this business-to-business system of a non-dollar system, and they use, you know, ATM swipe cards, electronic banking, and that allows for, increased business activity. So it's a real tool for economic development, especially in harder economic times where cash is short.
You know, in the United States, Lawrence, we're seeing shadows of collapse already. Detroit went bankrupt. The federal government is currently shut down. Food stamps stopped working for a few hours, and there were many riots. Is there still time to organize and launch local economies?
Well, it's not an option. And people can, because there are off-the-shelf systems. If you go to ces.org.za, it's a website that comes out of South Africa, and hundreds of let systems around the world are using their platform. It's not that sophisticated, but it's very adequate. It's a great electronic system, and anyone could set up a local currency based on that today. We put out a book, Get a Handle on Hands, which is available as an ebook for $3 that anyone can use, which is a 136-page manual on how to run a local currency. Nicole and I were featured in a book called True Wealth, which you can find on awholenewworld.com. True Wealth, which is the whole culture and thinking of community currencies. So there's a lot of information. There's Bernard Leotard, his writings. He's put out a lot of books on people money, Thomas Greco, and then there's Margaret Kennedy and the book by Edgar Kahn, No More Throwaway People, about time banking. So there's lots of information. Living Economies, website le.org.nz, is a powerhouse of information. Yes, people can set up a currency overnight, and in the, you know, the resiliency for eternity, the transition town type thinking, one of the number one survival tools, I think, next to food is and communication, which I think is the number one that people communicate with in their community in a time of crisis and make sure they can look at their food source, is currency. Because with currency, goodwill will only go so far. But with currency, then people can get entrepreneurial and innovative to meet the needs of the time. Then people can, you know, revamp their workshops and the like to start making, bringing forward the types of technology and services that you need. So there's a great book by Michael Schumann, an American, called Local Dollars, Local Cents. And that is a template for regional economic development, which tells how people, if they pull their money off the planet-killing Ponzi scheme, which is Wall Street, and invest it in the local economies, over $2 to $3 trillion could be put into the regional economies of America. And that could all flow into things like, you know, the whole new healthy local food revolution, which would answer a lot of health needs. It's an exciting opportunity. I'm not a doomer as such. I'm a realist, but I think the crises we have are the opportunity for change and to throw off some of the old systems. You know, I don't think it's the end of the world as we know it. I think it's the end of a world we no longer want or need, and that that doesn't become 21st century humanity. So it's an opportunity now for people to move fast into other systems because our butts are on fire. So we don't have a choice, and we don't change when we're comfortable. The opportunity now, all across, from coming up the Californian coast, Northern California, Oregon, Washington, now moving into Canada, all I see is people doing really good things. You know, the mainstream might still seem to be asleep, but people are doing just this multitude of things, and they're springing up all over the place and multiplying like a good seed bank does of ideas and solutions. I think it's a very promising time on the planet.
Lawrence Bomart, what is next for you, and where do people go to find out more about you and your projects?
Well, I've thrown out some of those websites, but I'm about to start putting out a newsletter, and whereas they can contact me through the realsolutions.org.nz website, they can email me on lawrencebomart@extra.co.nz. That's Lawrence with a U, Bomert, B-O-O-M-E-R-T, Extra without an E, just xtra.co.nz, and I'd love to share information with people, and I'll be producing a newsletter soon as I revamp my Bank of Real Solutions into the World Bank of Real Solutions, which will be a global information sharing platform with a bit of a Kickstarter component, with the mission of best information into action to as many people as possible as fast as possible.
You have been listening to Lawrence Bomart, the New Zealander looking for answers to our combined economic and environmental threats. He runs the Bank of Real Solutions and helped birth the book Fleeing Vesuvius, Responding to the Effects of Economic and Environmental Collapse. You can find more links to the work of Lawrence, including YouTube videos, in my show blog at ecoshock.info. Thank you, Lawrence. Please keep in touch as things develop or even as they fall apart.
Thank you, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.